The text is the gospel reading from St. John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, now raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Here ends our text. The shocking truth is, Holy Communion isn't enough. Coming to this altar and receiving the body and blood of Jesus isn't enough for salvation. That blows some of you away, and it's a blow upside the head to others. But it's the truth. Taking communion isn't enough. When you've read or heard this text before, you thought just the opposite. Eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus was enough. As a Lutheran, you are safe. You eat the flesh of Jesus and you drink his blood in communion. So according to Jesus, you have life in you. He will raise you up on the last day, and he remains in you and you in him. The ones who should worry are those who refuse to eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus. Those who don't have his body and blood on their altars, or those who won't commune at altars that do have it. They're the ones who might not have everlasting life. They're the ones who might not be raised up on the last day. They're the ones that might not remain in Jesus. You eat his body, you drink his blood, so you're safe. Right? Wrong. Scripture teaches not everyone who eats and drinks Jesus' body and blood here or at any other altar will live forever, be raised up, or remain in him. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul warns us not to be like the Old Testament church who all ate and drank Christ in the wilderness. Yet with most of them, God was not pleased, so he slaughtered them in the wilderness. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul warns that you can eat and drink Jesus in an unworthy manner, which leads to weakness, not strength, illness, not health, death, not life. According to Paul, instead of receiving the body and blood of the Lord for forgiveness of guilt, a person can come away from this altar with more guilt if they don't receive it rightly. A person is not receiving communion rightly if they come to this altar without repentance. If a person comes here holding on or defending any sin of theirs, big or small, socially acceptable or socially repugnant, God's judgment bolts out of Jesus' body and God's wrath pours out of Jesus' blood. Likewise, the person who received Jesus' body and blood while holding on to anyone else's sins doesn't eat and drink forgiveness for their sins either. Those clenching the sins of others in their hands still eat and drink Jesus' body and blood. But instead of forgiveness coming down upon them, God's clenched fist of condemnation does. Everyone who comes to this altar does indeed receive the body and blood of Jesus in their hand or in their mouth because his own words put them on this altar. But just eating and drinking isn't enough. Not only the person who eats and drinks holding on to their sins or the sins of others eats and drinks judgment, so does that person who eats and drinks without discerning, without seeing that the body and blood of Jesus are here. So you see, not all who receive communion are guaranteed salvation, and some are worse off for their eating and drinking. If this is the case, who on earth dare eat his body and drink his blood? And if eating and drinking the body and blood of God is not enough, what on earth or in heaven for that matter can be. Jesus. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus says here he gave his flesh in place of the life of the world. He says he came down from his throne in heaven to give his life in exchange for the world's. Every single sinner deserves to be handed over to other sinners to be tortured for their sins. But Jesus handed himself over in our place. Sinful men beat, whipped, mocked, tortured, and crucified Jesus for our sins. All sinners deserve to be handed over to death and the devil to be roasted for eternity. For our lusting and lying, for our pride and our prejudice, we deserve nothing less than to be baked on high heat forever. But in place of our flesh roasting, Jesus allowed his to be baked by the fires of hell on the cross. Instead of our blood boiling over under extreme heat, the blood of Jesus boiled over on Calvary's cross. Jesus gave his life in exchange for the life of the world. Therefore, there isn't one person you know that Jesus did not trade places with. There's not one person you know that Jesus did not redeem, did not buy back from sin, death, and the devil. There isn't one sin that Jesus did not pay for. He paid for the sin of the abortionist who murdered 1,000 babies and for the sin of the man who murdered him. Jesus even paid for the sins of communing without repentance. He even paid for the sin of communing while holding a grudge. He even paid for the sin of communing without recognizing his body and blood, and even for the sin of not communing at all. Jesus is more than enough. He didn't leave one single thing for you or anybody else to do to satisfy God's wrath against sins. There's not even one drop left in the cup of God's wrath against sinners that still needs drinking. There's not one sin left on the scales of God's justice that needs paying for or even answering for. There's not one commandment that needs keeping or one good deed that needs doing. Jesus did them all. He's more than enough. Because Jesus did it all, his flesh and blood are sources of life. This can't be said about any other food. No matter what you eat or drink, you're going to die. Eat low cholesterol and fat, eat high fiber and beta-carotene, and you're still dying even as we speak. What you need to live now and forever is Jesus. He is the one who opens his hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. He is the one who fed the church in the wilderness. He is the one who made newlyweds hundreds of gallons of wine. He is the one who fed thousands with a little boy's lunch. He is resurrection and life for such dry bones as we. Jesus is enough. Have Jesus and you have life now and forever. And how can Jesus be yours right now? By faith. This is Jesus' point all the way through John 6. He uses the analogy of eating and drinking to picture how easy, yet how necessary, faith in him is. To prove that Jesus' main point in John 6 is believing in him, and that eating and drinking are illustrations, look at these verses. Verse 29, the work of God is that you believe in the one he sent. Verse 35, he who believes in me will never go thirsty. And verse 40, everyone who believes in the Son shall have everlasting life. Jesus is enough. And faith receives all of Jesus. Now, human reason stumbles over this teaching. Reason says, surely Jesus couldn't have done it all. There must be something left for me to do. Reason says, faith can't be all that is needed to receive the benefits of Jesus. Surely I must do this or that. This is exactly where the people in the text stumbled. Jesus couldn't be sufficient food to feed them for eternity, and there was no way that just believing in him was enough. But this is exactly what our text teaches. Jesus is enough, and faith in Jesus receives every blessing. First, it receives everlasting life. Those who believe that Jesus gave his life in place of theirs have life right now. They're not dead in their sins. Second, faith in Jesus as Savior receives the blessing of being raised on the last day. Go ahead. Look at that graying, aging, sickly body of yours. Faith joins it to Jesus. Where he's been, you're going to go. He went into the grave, you'll go into the grave. He rose from the grave, you will too. His glorified body ascended to the skies, yours will ascend too. Third, through faith in Jesus, you remain in him, and in him, Paul tells us, there is no condemnation. But there is strength and there is courage to do all things. Be sure of this, though. Faith doesn't make you live forever. Faith doesn't cause you to rise. And faith doesn't keep you in Jesus. No, Jesus does all three things for you without any merit or worthiness in you. Faith receives what Jesus does. And such a faith as this receives every blessing in the communion of the body and blood of Jesus. But know this. What you receive at this altar isn't more than what you receive through faith. The Christians we don't give the body and blood of Jesus to because they haven't been instructed or because they're of a different faith than we are still receive all the blessings of this body and blood of Jesus through faith. That's why after the words of institution, I place my hand on the altar where the body and blood of Jesus now are, and I turn to the whole congregation saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." The body and blood of Jesus and all that they bring are here for everyone through faith. But those communing receive the body and blood of Jesus by mouth. Why is that significant? Because we are flesh and blood people. We're affected by what we see, smell, touch, taste, and hear. It is hard for flesh and blood to live with the tension of having everything by faith, yet not seen. By faith we are holy. By faith we are forgiven. By faith we're children of heaven. Yet by sight we see our sins. By sight we feel our guilt. By sight we are children of fallen men. In communion, the disparity between faith and sight is lessened. Here heaven and earth touch, because wherever the body and blood of Jesus is, there most certainly is heaven. And as sure as I taste, smell, touch, and see bread and wine, so certain am I that I am given the body and blood of Jesus. As sure as I am given the same body and blood he gave and shed on the cross, so sure do I have all that he says comes with them. Eternal life, resurrection from the dead, and his abiding with me, miserable sinner though I am. The shocking truth is that being saved is as easy as eating and drinking the right food. Jesus is the right food. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. All believers eat and drink Jesus as they believe in what the ascended Lord Jesus did for them by his life and death. And so they do receive all that he won for them. Believers who commune with the true body and blood of Jesus that descends to their altar not only receive him and all his benefits, they see, touch, taste, smell, and hear him. This too is a shocking truth. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.